Sorry, Jim. Jose does not get cold in Florida. All right. Today I'm going to talk to you about a mob grazing demonstration project that we had in the Nebraska Sandhills. This project was supported by a USDA NRCS Conservation Innovation Grant. It was a collaborative project between South Dakota State and University of Nebraska. The data I'll show you today, though, is from the Nebraska sites. So these NRCS Conservation Innovation Grants, if you're not aware of what they are, they're for demonstrating conservation practices on farms or ranches. We were happen to be able to collect some data with this project. Mob grazing is another form of rotational stocking. There are some differences, though, from more traditional rotational stockings that you might be aware of. The big one in Nebraska is commonly called, another term that's used is ultra-high stocking densities, because one of the big factors is the amount of live weight of cattle on a per unit area within a paddock at any particular point in time. Typically, producers in Nebraska that have adopted mob grazing, or those that have been interested, what has been purported is the stocking densities range. Typically, they're more than 200,000 pounds of live weight of animal per acre. I apologize, everything's in English units, so hopefully you make that conversion quick. But typically more than 200,000 pounds, sometimes getting close to 1 million pounds per acre. And the frequency of movement is greater as well, typically 2 to 3 times per day. One of the benefits of mob grazing or rotational stocking is why it's done. For one, is to reduce selective grazing, give high recovery time periods as well for the grass, for forage. And also, another big impact of mob grazing is high utilization. Utilize all the plant species in a paddock or in a pasture. A key point with what practitioners in Nebraska or producers in Nebraska have been finding, or what they claim, some of the claims or purported benefits of mob grazing, with this high utilization, you get a lot of trampling. So if a plant species is not consumed by the cattle, it's trampled under these high densities of animals. So as this picture demonstrates on here, the high level of trampling that occurred after this paddock was mob grazed. Why is high trampling beneficial, or what producers have been interested in the high level of trampling is to build soil. So that's been a claim that over time we're building soil, so we're increasing organic matter in the soil. Another benefit of mob grazing is improved nutrient cycling. That's been another purported benefit, because get good distribution of dung and urine across a pasture, because you're continually moving those animals. And also, there's probably a little bit of the trampling that occurs of the actual dung when you're at such a high density. You get some of the trampling of the dung, and that may facilitate improved nutrient cycling as well. The objective of our study, or this mob grazing demonstration project, between the project in Nebraska as well as South Dakota, was to demonstrate on-farm mob grazing. And the data that we collected as well at those sites measured rangeland botanical composition, vegetation productivity, looked at the soil aspects, and soil carbon. And then also with these sites, we often compared to different rotational grazing systems, more of a shorter duration grazing system with larger paddocks, lower stocking densities, that are more commonly used in the Sandhills, as well as Hayde Meadows in the Sandhills. So the Nebraska Sandhills, it's traditionally it's cow-calf production. Cow-calf production region is native grassland in Nebraska, but it typically consists of upland pastures, and then you have these sub-irrigated meadows that are seasonally wet. The uplands were more traditionally used for cow-calf production, and is more of your native taller grasses, native warm season tall grasses. The meadows were traditionally used as for hay production, so they were hayed, as that had been the historic management on these sites. But recently, producers have been adapting the mob grazing, and where they're mob grazing is on sub-irrigated meadows. These meadows typically are dominated more with cool season species, perennial cool season species, both grasses as well as sedges and rushes. So, with this project, we collected some data on. We had three cooperating ranches. One of the ranches dropped out. They didn't actually practice the mob grazing in 2012, so that was dropped. That's one of the challenges you learn with doing on-farm research, right? But here's some of the characteristics of stocking variables that we had that the producers use on their sites. Probably more of the key points is the number of moves today, really high number of moves. It kind of depends. Seasonality, there's variation there. Seasonality with the producers, and it depends on plant growth characteristics as well. And oftentimes, for instance, this producer, he moved quite frequently in 2012. 8 times per day, and that's part because he's out there working, and it was easy for him to move that frequently. But typically 2 to 3 times a day. Here it gives you an idea. So this mob grazing that's done on these ranches, typically only during the growing season. Here it gives you an idea of the stocking rates in terms of animal units. Sometimes they're typically... The mob graze paddocks are typically just grazed once per growing season, but they may receive some off season use and dormant period in winter, if for instance on this on ranch 2. But here's the stocking density. So ranch 1, he had been practicing since 2001, so he had been practicing mob grazing for 13 years at the time of this study. Ranch 2 had been practicing since 2006, so seven years. There was a drought in 2002, a severe drought in 2002, so you see a little bit lower stocking densities. They reduced them in 2013. The third ranch just started. He was a cooperator we were able to get for the project that was willing to do mob grazing. He had been historically practiced different rotational stocking, but not at these levels, the densities of more typical of this greater than 200,000 pounds per acre. And so, but we were able to get him to do mob grazing for that year in 2013. So, what we measured on these sites, we measured plant productivity was measured with exclosure cages. They were typically clipped in late July. So the meadows, as I mentioned, they're typically wet during May. So there's no mob grazing at that point. And then mob grazing usually starts around June. And peak production of these cool season dominated forages, kind of as you can see, is a lot of these reproductive seed production stages of the cool season grasses here. typically, so elongation phases to reproductive phases on these grasses. That's typically when the mob grazing would be occurring in these pastures. But total productivity was measured in exclosure cages. We also estimated utilization between a a clipping before mob grazing and then immediately post mob grazing period. So one of the complications of measuring vegetation productivity, it'd be surprising, even with exclosure cages, your data can get lost because they tend to move on these on ranch demonstrations. But some of the data, what we observed, so this is not exclosure cages, so this is right before mob grazing and then the next day, right after mob grazing. What we found, this is ranch one, so this is a practitioner doing it since 2001. Stocking density, 800,000 pounds of live weight. Here's pre-grazing mass, so about 3,500 pounds. This would be post-grazing mass, so 36, well, let me back up here. Trampled here, let me go over here. Trample would have been about, out of that pre-grazing mass, 20% was trampled on the site. So actually a low amount of trampling, as I showed compared to the next slide. Low amount of trampling on this site. He grazed this one a little earlier, more in a vegetative stage. Here's post-grazing, so that's the amount of standing residue remaining, so about 36% of the live. But if you add 36 and 20% together, about 56%, and subtract it from here, that'll give you the grazing efficiency. So the grazing efficiency was about 44% on this ranch. Here's in 2013. The bars are not in order here, but here's ranch one. So he reduced that stocking density down to about 270,000 pounds. Grazing later, more in the elongation reproductive phase, increased that trampling there, increased from 20% the year before to about 46%. So high trampling, that's a common, and if you look across these ranches, high trampling on these sites. So that was a key observation, or key finding to find. High levels of trampling, and look at the utilization here. So you have 7% of the standing crop left on the site, 7, 11, and 6%. So high levels of utilization of that forage. And then grazing efficiency, that's about 42% here, 43, and a little less here, 33% grazing efficiency. So somewhere grazing efficiency is 33 to 44% across sites, which is common for less intensive rotational stocking systems that are commonly utilized for grazing efficiencies in the sandhills. How about botanical composition? What was observed? So it was compared, these mob grazed meadows, to hayed meadows. What was commonly observed, what we kind of see, we tend to see a few more plant species under the mob grazing compared to these historically hayed meadows, and a bit more composition of more grasses, more cool season grasses, and more sedges on the hayed meadow site. Again, here'd be that was ranch one. Here's ranch two in 2013. Mob meadow, more grasses, few more species. Here's that hayed meadow, more sedges. Here's ranch three. So no hayed meadow, but just compared to short duration, basically the same thing. Similar more grasses, less sedges. Okay. How about productivity? Here's where we're measuring in the exclosure cages. They got disturbed, or in one instance, we had a mob grazed meadow that was hayed, or so some disturbance there. But the site that we do have, in terms of production in those exclosures, similar levels of total productivity of production. And this was similar levels both in 2012 and 2013, despite the drought. How about soil organic matter? really no responses. So about 3.5% soil organic matter in these mob meadows. So this is Ranch 1. He'd been practicing for 13 years compared to historically Hayed Meadows, or Ranch 2 for about 7 years compared to historically Hayed Meadows. Similar levels of soil organic matter. So despite all this trampling, there's no building of soil. So that's what a finding from these demonstration projects. So what we found, or what we conclude from these on-farm demonstrations, what we observed: no measurable effects on botanical composition, above-ground plant production, or soil properties. High levels of trampling, no soil response. Graze efficiency, about 32 to 44%. And high levels of trampling, you probably would be, one of the beneficial aspects is maybe moving up the mob grazing a little earlier in the year to minimize some of the trampling and get better grazing efficiency too. That would lead to better animal performance, although that's not measured here. So Joe? Yeah. The question was, what if the mob grazers moved up earlier, but if you moved up when, producers typically aren't moving up that stocking into, when they're standing water, but I suspect if that occurred, where if you're really working on a wet site, is you could get more, you could possibly get more soil compaction, under that condition. It is sandy soil, so possibly if you disturb the vegetation, maybe you get poor regrowth too under the trampling. Yep.
In answer to that question, Greg Judy in Missouri had that situation a couple of springs ago. And because he was putting so much organic matter on the surface, the recovery occurred within about 3 or 4 months of the back to the lab.
Yeah, so, well, I can't speak too much about Greg Judy, but he has been one of the practitioners, not on this site, but it's a different environment, Missouri versus the Sand Hills, more 20-inch precipitation zone in the Sand Hills, sandy soil, so lower organic matter, so that's common, so...
Yes. If there's more questions, just please.
Well, Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
Should I take the last one? Jennifer had one.
I just wondered your methodology. How did you distinguish trampled from the post-grade?
Trampled was any vegetation, well, that was lying on the soil surface. Its litter was also collected on those sites. But trampling was any vegetation that would have been at least less than a 45 degree angle from the soil surface. Standing vegetation would have been stubble, or standing vegetation would be anything that's not trampled, so that was still alive.